You can always feel like the high roller of the house when you get packages delivered to you from Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast by starting your shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our great friends in Canada, use our link, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who's taking a page out of the Big Brother playbook, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our first weekly Big Brother Canada recap. Here we are the day after the first Big Brother Canada eviction, and we are off to a flying start here in Big Brother Canada. I am very pumped up to talk about two nights in the Big Brother Grand. First, let me welcome in that he is fresh off a appearance on Big Brother Canada 3. Still fresh off. Here he is, our chief Big Brother Canada correspondent, the great Jordan Parhar.
Thank you for having me, Robert. Once again, very excited to be here. I've been waiting 16 years for this. It's going to be a great episode. Super pumped.
Super pumped up. What a night. And here with us to talk about Big Brother Canada and everything developing over the live feeds since they got turned on last night, our good friend Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing good. If Jordan is the chief correspondent, does that make me the sergeant? I'm not sure how these things work.
Not sure. We'll figure it all out here today in the Big Brother. Actually, should we assign you guys all jobs for like the hotel? Do you guys want to be like...
Yeah, let's do that.
Taryn, Brent, and Alex are... One of you guys could work, be the bellhop. One of you guys could be like working in the hotel bar.
I like that.
I think Alex has to be working the bar because Brent and I don't drink.
Okay. You could work the valet in the Big Brother Grand.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally a valet.
Drop off the car.
So am I like their like portly boss with a mustache who like bosses them around?
No, you're the concierge.
Oh, the concierge. Okay. All right.
Concierge, Jordan Parhar. I'm very excited about this Big Brother Canada. This sort of came up at a time. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Survivor season is going on. The Amazing Race season is going on. Post-show recaps. There's a bunch of shows happening right now. And it really sort of snuck up on me. I'm like, do I have time to in my schedule for Big Brother Canada? Why couldn't this be? And then I watched these two episodes, and I'm super pumped up about this season. This was a fantastic start to a Big Brother season, almost as good of a start as you could possibly hope for. Jordan, am I being hyperbolic?
I think that, maybe a little hyperbolic, because for me, I wasn't a huge fan of having everything being so rushed the first two nights, because we had to cram in a full week of Big Brother into two nights, as well as the premiere, like the opening and all that stuff, plus the wild card. So I think it would have been able to start a little better, I think, if they would have spread things out a bit more. But I'm with you. I'm high on this season so far from what we've seen. Pretty rare that you see a vote split right off the hop. So I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Taryn, a little bit of a unicorn here for a Big Brother vote this early on to go off the rails.
Yeah, I think it's been a quite a while since we've seen this. I really can't remember the last time we've had a house where there's literally two sides voting against each other in the very first vote. And it's contentious already.
Okay, so very exciting. We're going to talk all of that through, plus the arrivals of the international Big Brother people as well. Also, this morning, I had a chance to do my very first Big Brother Canada 4 exit interview. I had a nice chat with Paige, which you can hear in the audio version of this podcast. It will come right after this podcast that you hear, and I'll also put the timestamp on there as well. If you want to hear the interview with Paige, who was very nice, very, very nice person, maybe in over her head as a 19-year-old in the Big Brother house. Jordan, that you played as a young man in the Big Brother house. Would you say, is 19 too young for these people, these horrible people we put in the Big Brother house?
I mean, age is, it's relative, Rob, because we look at some of these people and they are in their mid to late 30s. Maybe some people on my season last year who act like they're in their teens still. But you know, I think that when you're 19, though, it's very tough to have the maturity to be able to play this game and to have that life experience. You don't, because you're really still a kid, and especially Paige. I love her to death, but she's a young 19, and I think she was in way over her head, and unfortunately, she bit the dust, and I was so disappointed to see her go. But yeah, somebody who was 21, it's tough, I think. And you guys saw it. If you would have watched Big Brother Canada 3, you saw all of my mistakes. If I was a little bit older, a little more mature, I think I would have done a little bit better. So definitely not the proper age to be playing Big Brother.
No. Jordan, so I was thinking of you, obviously, last night during the episode, because here is Paige, very young woman in the Big Brother house. And here she is. And they come to her and say, okay, you're going to go up on the block as the pawn. And she doesn't volunteer to go and be the pawn. She seems a little reluctant, but she doesn't put up a big fight. She doesn't say, no way, Jose, no way, Levita. I will not go up on the block. She says, okay, fine. But then very quickly she says, well, but the pawns do always go home. And very quickly, ultimately, she was the pawn who was sent home. So for her, Jordan, could you talk a little bit about what that's like to be the person who's up on the block, and why certain pawns ultimately do go home?
Well, I mean, it's troubling. I mean, this is an instance. I think I agree with you. I could definitely relate to Paige, because the reason why Paige went home, it didn't have to do with Paige. Mm-hmm. It was because of it was taking one side of the house wanted to take a shot at one person, that person being Levita. Had Levita not said, hey, Kelsey, I want you to go home this week, I think maybe things would have turned out a little bit differently for Paige, because she's really nice. She's harmless. She's not threatening. I think a lot of people really got along with her, other than I heard she said that her and Christine didn't really jive too well in there. But that's basically what happened there. And when that happens, it's tough. It's really hard. And again, when you're 19, it's hard to have that, you know, awareness, to have the, you know, the social skill to get out there to fight and campaign. And Big Brother is a game that you kind of have to learn as you go along. You don't just go in there. Yeah, you can go in there and be a walking encyclopedia. You can be a super fan like I was, or like Paige is. But there's a difference between watching it and playing it. And when you get in there and you're nominated for the first time and you're on the block for the first time, it's hard to figure out what exactly it is you're supposed to do in order to save yourself. And Paige couldn't figure it out, unfortunately.
Okay, just like we do during the Big Brother US season, we will get to a point where we will say we were going to get into spoilers. Up until that point, we will only be discussing the things that happened in these first two episodes. But Taryn, I know the feeds have come on, and maybe you could help us out with sort of piecing this story together. I do agree with what Jordan said about that this was more of a shot against Levita and what she was up to, more so than anything against Paige. Have you gotten a sense of why people felt like they needed to come after Levita? Because I feel like that there are almost two different types of the HOH in the first week of the Big Brother house. There is the consensus building HOH, and then there's the HOH who tries to drive an agenda home. And it does seem as though that the house had some sort of a backlash to whatever Levita was trying to do in week one.
Yeah, it was less really striking against Levita than it was, I think, saving Kelsey, because she was attached to Jared, and the brothers ultimately decide they want to kind of go there. A lot of the swing votes decide that group is better than Levita's group, and that's kind of where it went. As far as Paige goes, I did hear that Paige was actually the one that told Kelsey that she was the pawn, and that's how Kelsey found out, and then she went and confronted Levita, and that's how that whole conversation started. So definitely not a good move by Paige, as far as that goes. But yeah, in general, it feels like, from what I've heard, Levita and her group, they stayed up in the HOH room. They didn't really talk to people. They kind of went on a power trip, and the house decided, you know, we don't want to do what you want to do. We want to change it up. We like Kelsey. We're going to keep her.
I feel like this also went against traditional Big Brother logic, where there is a woman in the house who is super flirtatious, who's on the block early in a season, who is attached to somebody who could be a viable part of a men's alliance. And typically, I feel like in a week one, week two scenario, the house usually rejects this person. Whereas here, the house flipped to save this person. How against Big Brother history is that, Jordan?
I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, we're thinking, I mean, last year, Risha kind of, yeah, I mean, she goes home in BB Can 3. She's trying to flirt with the guys and goes home as a result of that. Big Brother Canada 1, Big Brother Canada 2, meh, not really as much. But if I'm just, I'm trying to think here. Joey was an example, but she didn't go with the guys in 16. So I don't know. I mean, that's something we'd have to think about a little bit more and do more of a deep dive. And I think Taryn might be able to answer that one a little bit better than I can. Taryn, does anyone come to mind for you?
I mean, as far as like the flirty woman kind of player who doesn't, I mean, that she pretty much always goes home early, in this scenario, at least if she's on the block. As far as flipping the house goes, I can think Big Brother 14.
But just to stay on that topic in terms of the a woman who is overly flirtatious in the Big Brother house, where I've talked about in the past between Big Brother Canada 3 and in Big Brother 6, Big Brother 17, about the plight of the sexually promiscuous woman in the Big Brother house, and it never tends to go well. And I compared it last season to a trapeze artist, and she is in the house, she is reaching for that trapeze, and if she hangs on with a showmance, she's going to be around for a while. But if it doesn't end up sticking, then ultimately she tends to be someone who is an early boot. And I think if you were to sort of chart that, the woman that the more men in the house that a woman is flirting with, I think the likelier she is to go home early in Big Brother. So I think that this was a very unique scenario where Caitlin was saved. I'm sorry, Kelsey was saved.
Yeah, just now that you're bringing that up, I mean, yeah, if Laura Crosby comes to mind for me, somebody, or I think her name is Stein now. Not Eric Stein, but yes, Laura from Big Brother. Yeah, Laura from Big Brother 11 is one. Cindy last season is another. I'm trying to think Big Brother. I think it's something that maybe Taryn and I, when we do the evolution of strategy for Big Brother this summer, we can do a little bit of a case.
Why would you do it during the summer?
I don't know. Well, I guess during the winter. I don't know. I just thought summer is, I'm busy during the winter, Rob. I got school. Summer's when I'm free. So I'm selfish. So I'm just thinking about myself here.
Yeah. So very interesting to have her. Now, Taryn, have you seen, I mean, is Kelsey full on showmance with Jared, or is she sort of playing the field in the house? Because it seemed like the show was shaping it up. Okay, this is a showmance brewing, but then, you know, she was very seemingly available to some of the other guys in the house in terms of what she was doing flirting wise.
Yeah, she's a very naturally flirty person. She interacts with a lot of people in that way, I think. But the main squeeze, so to speak, is Jared. And there's not a whole lot going on in that front yet. But I don't think anybody is under the assumption that they have anything stronger than her and Jared at the moment.
So what's going on there without going too much into spoilers of anything? I mean, is Jared just confident that, you know, he's got, like, he's the number one and she needs to do what she needs to do to stay in the house? Or is he potentially not that interested in her?
Based on what he said, he said, we don't know how much he was joking or maybe lying, but he said, like, yeah, we'll probably text a few times after the show is over and that's it.
Wow.
So he may not be that interested. He may have been lying to cover it up, or he may have been joking, but it was said with a straight face. So, you know, he might not be super interested, but they are like probably the two most attractive people in the house, and they just kind of gravitated toward each other. And now they're put in this situation where it's like, you know, we might as well stick together because we trust each other. And so I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere, but, you know, it always could, you know.
Okay. I want to talk about the brothers because they were such a big part of the first two nights of the show. And when I first heard this twist during the week, I found out about it right after we got done doing our preview show a week ago today. And then before the premiere, I said, this sounds terrible. I can't believe that they're doing this. This sounds like a disaster, this twist. But I have to say, in practice, I wasn't super mad at it. Nick and Philip, am I pronouncing that right, Jordan?
Yes. And somebody was tweeting me earlier saying, asking if we were confused because I kept calling him Felipe as a joke. But yes, Philippe, I believe, is technically the proper en français pronunciation of that. But I'm sure he just goes by Phil. So let's just call him Phil.
OK, Nick and Phil are in the house and they are a pair. And so here they are. And I have to say that I do like Nick.
Nick is, yeah, I mean, he's somebody at first that in that premiere episode, I thought, ooh, his diary rooms were a little cringeworthy, but I do think that he is the more likable of the two brothers, and I enjoyed him. I thought that they had a good little banter going on, and together in the diary room, I think that that's where they're going to really shine, those brothers, is as a duo in those DRs together, because individually, I don't know if they can hold it on their own, but that's something that will, like these people's games, their DRs will improve as the game progresses.
Taryn, are you feeling the bros?
Yeah, I like the bros. I'm not super high on the twist. It wasn't really fun for me to watch them, you know, get their hearts broken in the first episode, and I would like to see them play their own game, because they really do have some good game sense. I'm not going to go any further than that, but I like the way they play. I like the way they think about the game, and it's somewhat interesting to see them have to work together, but it really doesn't add much, to be honest, watching them.
Yeah, and are we buying at all that they didn't know that they were both going to be in the Big Brother house?
Not for a second, Rob. Come on. Like, Phil is in the shot. He's in the shot when Nick's getting his thing filmed. Like, are you kidding me? You cannot tell me that these brothers not. And I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. But if you are, and I know, and I might get in trouble for this, but oh well. I know people who have been on these reality shows before, and they're told, hey, just so you know, you're going to be on this show, and you can't tell anybody, and I mean anybody. Here's some inside baseball, folks. Those people tell people. Whoa. They let other people know, and your brother is going to know if you are going deep in the casting process for Big Brother, especially if you're both fans of this thing, and it seems like they've at least seen it before, so... I'm calling BS. There is no way that these guys did not know beforehand that they were both going in the house. I mean, maybe they thought that there was like some only one would get in. I don't know, but they couldn't have been too shocked.
Taryn, do you have a dissenting opinion on this?
I'm mostly in agreement with JP, but I think there's reasonable doubt here. I don't think we can convict them.
Oh, wow.
I think that there's a chance that they said, you know, you're both alternates, but we're going to film an intro just in case. We're going to tell you last minute. And they informed them both last minute. So they had a good idea that one of them was probably going to be on, and they weren't too surprised when they saw the other one was on, but they didn't know for sure. That's probably what I'm thinking is a possibility for how they managed to pull it off. It just seems like such a weird lie to tell otherwise, but yeah. Especially to have them in on it. Like, how do you trust that they're going to act the right way?
Here's what I would say. Right, I'd say the best case scenario, if we really want to play into this, that maybe Big Brother told them it was like some sort of like blood versus water or Big Brother 6 type scenario where everybody is going to be playing with a loved one, but we're not going to tell anybody. Okay, you're going to be in the house with your loved one and nobody's going to know. Maybe that's the case, but I don't know.
And if that's the case, then that's fine. But just be upfront with us. I don't get why we need to say, Phil's like, hey, guys, just so you know, like, I had no idea that this was going to happen. I was like, come on, man. Really?
Well, to be fair, he didn't know that they were going to be outed, I'm sure. That could have been what he was saying.
Perhaps that's what he meant.
I didn't know that you were going to catch me in a lie. So,
yeah, but I do think that it sort of worked into the perfect storm, which worked against Paige, in which Kelsey ends up on the block and then she's part of this showmance. And then also I think that very smartly Nick and Philip are also saying, well, we need a diversion while we're in the house, that the showmance is going to be beneficial to us. We need to be lobbying for the showmance. And it really was just part of a number of factors that worked against Paige. So I do have to give kudos to the brothers for realizing that they needed something to take the heat off of their backs, Jordan.
I was very impressed that Phil had the insight to pick up on that, because I hate to do this, but you know, a lot of times you see these people on these shows and you judge a book by its cover. You think, okay, you hear the pregame interviews and you think, all right, I thought, okay, Phil's kind of a bro, a little bit of a meathead. He's probably not going to have too much game, but the fact that he picked up on that, we got to give him props. That's impressive. And you also, if you wouldn't paid attention closely last night, you'd see Phil's face really lit up last night when they announced that the wild cards were going in the house, because I think he realized, hey, guess what? Now there's another target or another pair, or there's two more targets that are bigger than my brother and I in this game. So it's really gone well for it. Really, honestly, possibly the best case scenario for Nick and Phil going into this thing.
Great. Well, I want to talk about the wild cards. And as 1 week ago today, Jordan Parhar correctly called his shot, and he felt like poor Jace was a lamb to the slaughter. He backdoored once again for poor Jace, left at the altar, and he had no shot to get into the house. It was going to be Tim and Nikki going into the house. And I sort of had forgotten about the wild cards after two nights of the Big Brother game, and I was loving it. There was this big blindside. They went against the house. I thought they were just going to fake me out, and Paige was going to get just two votes to be evicted, and Kelsey was going to go home, and I was going to say, what a waste. But instead, we had this big blindside. The house is seemingly turned on its head, and then we go back to the wild cards, and I'm wondering, did Big Brother Canada make up this nice, delicious bowl of poutine, Jordan, and then put a bunch of extra spices in there that they didn't need?
You know what? With poutine, you can never have too many spices, Rob. So I think that's the mindset that they're going with here. And I'm excited for this, because you're right. It was a great poutine that we had. I mean, we had all the fixings. We had the gravy, the cheese curds, everything. But now we're getting some paprika and some of these other spices that are going in here and making this unreal. This could be the greatest poutine of all time. So I'm really looking forward to it, because sometimes I might have been a little bit skeptical at first if I would have saw, okay, all right, well, we got a really good first week, but we'll see what happens here. But now that we have this additional thing, we've got Tim and we've got Nikki in here, I feel like we're guaranteed at least an entertaining first month of this game, which is very promising. The BB gods have been kind to us.
Taryn, what's your take on this? How many different things could Big Brother be throwing at us? And is this too much going on?
Given last season and how much was going on every single week, it's not too much for me. I don't mind a casting twist like this. They're just the regular players. They do go in a week late, but whatever. And I like Tim at the very least. I think that he's somebody that's going to be interesting to watch. I would have preferred if he was just a normal cast member and didn't go in a week later and all that nonsense, but it's Big Brother Canada. They're going to do what they're going to do. I'm excited to see Tim, to be honest. So I'm happy about it.
Jordan, is it too big of an advantage for Tim and Nikki to come in and already they missed one eviction? They're going to be safe for the second eviction. So while everybody else is playing a game against how many people started in the house? We started with
14.
We started with 14, and then now we're adding in two people. So for them, it's a forgive my math here. What is it? A 1 in 14 shot for them? Or is it a 1 in 16 for everybody else?
So it's a 1 in 14 shot for them. It's
and
a 1 in 16
hypothetically,
shot for
hold
them.
On. Are Phil and Nick gonna at some point get unhitched from each other?
Well, that's totally splitting. Totally.
Yeah, well, that's something we talked about on the happy hour on Wednesday night after the recap. Taryn brought that up, and Alex and Brent and I were all discussing that. I don't think they're going to split up. I really don't. I know that certain people are saying, okay, well, yeah, it's clear they're going to become their own players at some point. But I think that they said it from the get-go, night one, these guys are playing as one player. And in some of the international formats in the UK and stuff like that, when they do announce, okay, this person is playing the game, this pair is playing the game as one person, they don't split them up. So I think they're going to stick to it, and I would be disappointed if they split them up, because I think it makes it more interesting with them together as a pair.
I think it will depend entirely on whether these guys are good TV. I think if they are good TV, I think at some point, if it looks like they're on the ropes, maybe they will split them up. So at least you would keep one of them in the house. And if they're kind of lame, I think they'll keep them together.
I feel confident saying that they're going to split up, because I don't think they're going to make it to the end as a pair anyway. So I can just say that they would have split up had they not gotten eliminated.
You're covering your bases.
Yeah.
Oh, you sly dog, Taryn Armstrong.
Okay. All right. Jordan, you and I had a big bet coming out of the preview show about Cassandra, about I felt like that she was definitely not going to make the jury. You felt very confident about her. Coming out of two nights on the show, how are you feeling about your position on the Persian princess?
Ooh, you know, I like Cass. She was enjoyable in the first two episodes. Very entertaining. I see a little bit of Rachel Riley in her, which we did talk about again. So it's going to be tough. I think it depends on, because right now the house is split. We've got these two sides. And I think if the Levita side, if they want to take a shot at the Jared Kelsey side of the house, I think Cassandra is an easy person to go after because she's somebody who, and well, we saw it from Levita in the first episode. She said, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe I do want to go after her. But I think, you know what? I think that people do like her. Seems like she's, you know, likable enough. She can work her magic and she knows the game. So I'm still feeling good, Rob. I think you're going to lose this bet and you're going to be talking to me on the voicemails in a few weeks, unfortunately.
Taryn, settle this for us. Where do you land on this? Because I watched it and I said, I feel great about my position that Cassandra will not be making the jury.
Well, I don't want to go too far into feeds, but I can say that she is one of the more popular people right now as far as her standing. She's kind of like a more, you know, strategic or like more like edgy Rachel Riley, where she's kind of got that crazy personality, but she's very focused. So
here's the thing with, yeah, sorry to butt in, but here's the thing with Cassandra that I've picked up. Like Rachel Riley, Rachel knows when to turn it on in the DR, but if you meet Rachel in real life, Rachel is not the Rachel you see on TV, whereas with Cassandra, I think when she's in the DR and doing that stuff, she's playing it up a little bit. But when she's in the house, it's different.
Okay. All right. Well, you talked about the two sides of the house. Taryn, could you lay it out for us? Who's on which side of the house coming out of that vote in terms of that? What was it? A 7-4 split?
Yeah. I mean, they're called two sides, but it's really the majority of people are kind of hanging out in the middle. Basically, we've got Jared, Kelsey, and Raul. They're a pretty tight threesome. They have an alliance called the Third Wheel because Raul is the third wheel. Mitch is pretty closely attached to them as well. They've also got the brothers who really want to work with them, but they're not sure they can trust the brothers. The Christine and Cassandra are also kind of attached to them. But all of those people, Mitch, Joel, the brothers, Christine, and Cassandra, they're all kind of not as closely aligned. And if something goes wrong for Jared and Kelsey, they're going to detach. That's definitely going to happen. So this is not like a solid alliance. Then on the other side, we have Levita and Sherry, as well as Maddie, Ramsey, and Dallas, who is trying to play both sides at the moment. And that's pretty much where the house stands. Then obviously we have Tim and Nikki, who haven't quite settled into one side or the other yet.
Okay. Very interesting to see how this is all going to play out. Jordan, I'm sure a lot of people want to get your take on Joel after two nights in the Big Brother house. What did you think of Joel, the 33-year-old? We learned so much about him that in addition to being a musical theater person, also is extremely single. That is a politically correct term.
Yeah,
indeed, it is a politically correct term. Yeah, Joel and I, we had a lot in common going into our season to Big Brother. Mind you, Joel was 10 years older than I was when I went in. But I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, like here's my expectations for Joel. I'll preface it with this: I was in love with him right off the bat, but I was very nervous, as we talked about. I was thinking, you know what, maybe how I was feeling was probably like a 4 out of 10 with how he would do. Like, that's what I would have predicted his first week would have gone. That's how well it would have been. I give him a 10 out of 10 for how he did that first week. Unreal job by Joel. I mean, here's a guy who is already, he's way different than all of these people, but he manages to get immunity right off the get-go. That is huge. He seems like, yeah, he's awkward, but people seem to like him. He's talking to to people in the house. He's a very social person. So, I mean, you heard that. I don't know if Paige said that in your interview with her, but she said that on her house guest hangout today on the Big Brother Canada Facebook page. You can go check that out. on there. But yeah, she said that Joel is a guy who was very sociable. I think that, and he was getting to know people really well. So I'm pumped for Joel. I'm super excited for him. And I think he's going to finish above the Jordan Parhar line at the end of the season. So I'm really happy for him.
I don't know. I was kind of down on him after watching two nights of him on the
show. Why are you down on him? Come on, Rob. Why are you down on Joel? What's not to love about this guy?
I feel like that with you or somebody, as I said this on the preview show, I do feel like that there is like some camaraderie of like, okay, he look at the, you know, he's a, this is a young guy, sort of like a little brother type thing. But I was feeling like that Joel just seems like, I think people are going to feel like he's up to something in the house. And I felt like that he did not do anything to sort of change that idea in my mind. And I feel like that Joel, who that they were talking about him. Oh, it's, I wish he didn't have immunity. Levita said, I would love to get him up on the block there in the first week. So I think that he's going to be somebody who people are always going to be suspicious of in that house. Taryn, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Joel is a bit more of a Steve than he is a Jordan, where Jordan, you were kind of in the
mix. So he'll win.
Basically. So yeah, Jordan was in the mix of things. He was aligned with a bunch of different people. From what I've seen of Joel, he's kind of seen as, he's a little awkward. Not a whole lot of people super trust him, but they're not, you know, super down on him either. I think it's about where he needs to be right now. As long as he needs to be able to get a little better, but I think that will happen with time. We usually see that with these characters. So I like his current position. I think he has a chance to go far, but he is somebody that is an easy out for somebody if they're looking for somebody to take out with no blood on their hands.
Okay. All right. Jordan, any other takes from the first two nights before we start to segue into some questions and some live feeds?
No, I'm ready. Let's get into the live feeds, Rob.
Okay. Taryn, anything else that you wanted to say about the first two nights?
No, I agree with Jordan, where I feel like that second episode was so fast. It felt like a finale recap almost. So it was surreal.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We have any other questions that aren't from the live feeds. William wants to know, Jordan, am I the only one who thinks that Nick's voice is the exact same as Kevin Martin's? Did you find that to be the case?
Well, as somebody who talks to my buddy Kmart on a very regular basis, I would say no, not at all. Sorry, Will, I think you're off the mark on this one. Although, who knows? I mean, maybe it's just because I know Kevin really well on a personal level. So for somebody who doesn't talk to him as much or, you know, followed him on the show, maybe I could see that. Taryn, what do you think?
I don't see it at all. I feel like they have very different voices.
Right. Yeah. And also in the diary room, Kevin is just so natural, whereas Nick was kind of a little forced, I felt like. And maybe it's because he's young. He's only 20 years old. So I think maybe that had something to do with it as well. But yeah, I don't see that.
To be fair, most people in the Big Brother Canada house seem awkward in the diary room, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's true. And I'm one to talk. Yeah. I'm really one to talk. So I shouldn't be saying anything. Just as a fan and a viewer, that's just what I saw.
Okay. Jordan, if people want to hear Kmart's voice, will they be able to hear him on any upcoming podcasts?
Yeah, so Kevin will be on the Happy Hour with me next Wednesday, live after the episode at 10:15 Eastern Time, 7:15 Pacific, and we'll be breaking down the episode next Wednesday. So that should be a lot of fun. I can't wait to talk to Kevin. He's a great dude.
Okay. Jordan, on Twitter, at the BB President, the illustrious president of Big Brother, has tweeted us to say, Bruno from Big Brother Canada 3, your buddy, Bruno Aiello.
Yes.
He broke the news last night that Jared and Cassandra knew each other before going in. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, and this is something, I don't know if Bruno broke that or who broke that news. Maybe, I'm so confused because I'm paying attention to social media and then my circles that I'm in and all this stuff. But I think that is, again, another reason why I feel really good about Cassandra is because Jared and her know each other in real life. That's an alliance that I think will carry deep into the game. Anything from the outside world that you can connect with is huge. So, and Jared is a guy that's in power. So, this is really good for Cassandra and for Jared. Yeah. I mean, it can't help to have people in his back pocket when you're a big threat like that. Cassandra is a person who I feel like would have the guts to go after him, but If she's with him, that's one less person he has to worry about.
So how do they know each other? Do we know?
I don't know exactly. I haven't actually funny that happened that you bring up Bruno. Bruno and I are actually going to he's going to FaceTime me later. So I'll ask him specifically if he knows. But I think, you know what? Here's the thing with Canada.
Everybody knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. It's actually people joke about that. But when you're in a place like Winnipeg or the East Coast, there's usually somebody, you know, a friend of a friend who somehow knows somebody. I mean, we saw on Big Brother Canada 2, mm-hmm. Kenny Brain had a mutual friends with Allison White. So they knew each other. You know, like I'm trying to think about this. Willow, I'm trying to think there's somebody from this season who played baseball with a friend of Willow's, and Willow also, her friend knows Dallas. So yeah, it's weird. Canada's a strange place, Rob.
Okay. Well, Bruno is like the Adam Schefter of Big Brother Canada.
Well, that's it. Bruno is. I mean, Bruno said he knew about the wild card thing a few weeks before it happened. So yeah, I mean, maybe I can talk to Bruno tonight and get some insider intel for you guys. But yeah, Bruno knows his stuff.
He knew about Newport.
Bruno did not know about, well, Bruno knew about Newport. He didn't know the name. He did not know about the fortress, though. He did not know that. So that's one thing I had on Bruno.
Okay. All right. Let's start to segue into talking about some of the Big Brother live feeds. If you're going to bounce out here, don't forget, you could check out our ongoing Big Brother Canada coverage is going to continue on with Jordan Parhar on reality TV wrap-ups. Could you give us the schedule, Jordan, for when your next upcoming shows are going to be?
Yeah, so my shows are going to be live Sunday and Wednesday after the East Coast airing of the Big Brother Canada 4 episode. So this Sunday, I will be live at 5:15 p.m. Pacific, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. I'll be talking to Ashley Wood from Big Brother Canada 3. So that'll be this Sunday. And as I mentioned earlier, I'll be talking to Kevin this upcoming Wednesday after that episode to break down the power of veto and how all that stuff went, the nominations, and what we think is going to happen on the eviction on Thursday.
And then what we're going to do here is that I will come to you on Friday and I will have a different Big Brother guest and somebody to talk about the live feeds here as we sort of wrap out 1 week and start to get you set for a all new week for Big Brother Canada. And away we go. All right, let's talk about some of these spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that was a good one. I had a lot of spoilers pent up. It's been a long time since September. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's talk about where things led off since we got through the live eviction on Thursday night over the past 24 hours or so. Okay. So, Taryn, take us through the aftermath of Kelsey staying and Paige going home.
Yeah. So probably the most interesting thing is that Dallas, who voted for Kelsey to leave, is denying the vote. He's trying to blame it on Cassandra mostly. And it's still up in the air. It hasn't been fully decided that Dallas was the one that did it. A lot of people suspect him, but for the most part, it's still up in the air. There's a lot of confusion about it. Right after the vote, the wild cards come in, they play HOH, and Jared is the new HOH.
Okay, congratulations, Jared. He went to Jared.
Him and his pipeline, Rob.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, I mean, the targets so far are the pretty obvious ones. Levita and Sherry, who has been like attached to Levita's hip the entire time on the feeds.
Okay.
Yeah, they're gonna go up in the block most likely so far.
All right. So Jared is targeting Levita and Sherry. And so how does it look for them? Is there a leading contender? Who's the target? Is it Levita?
Probably Levita. They're still kind of debating back and forth which one they want to go. They don't really care too much. They have pros and cons for either one. So far, the plan is just put them up, see how it goes. Backup is Ramsey or Maddie. Mm-hmm. So far. I really think that this whole vote thing is going to come back on Dallas. Jared isn't too concerned about it. He's kind of going back and forth. Was it Dallas or was it the brothers? But he doesn't really care. He doesn't want to stir anything up because they're both being very nice to him.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as it's confirmed that Dallas was that vote, there's a strong chance that Dallas could be going up on that block with a veto.
So, Jordan, could you just take me through in terms of all the people that voted for Kelsey to stay? Who were the major defections from the LaVita crew?
So the ones that voted for Kelsey to stay. So that was Cassandra, Mitchell, Joel, Christine, the brothers, and Raul. So they actually, and Jared too, I guess. So hold on. Yeah. Is that correct?
So LaVita thought it was going to be an 11-0 vote for Paige to stay in the house.
Or maybe 10-1 or something, because I don't know what the numbers would be, but maybe Jared being the only vote going the other way. Yeah, I guess that's what she thought, which I can't believe she would think that. I mean, I'm one to talk. It happens in the house. You get you grow complacent. Things happen. But when you're the first HOH, I mean, and you take a shot like that, like she said, we saw this on the episode last night. She said, well, I promised Jared I wouldn't put him up on the block. So here's LaVita with her promise strategy. So I'm not going to put him up. I'm only going to put up Kelsey. But if you put Kelsey up on the block, you're already angering Jared. So why not just throw both of them up there? That's one less vote you have to worry about for Kelsey to stay. You guarantee that you split them up and you can move on with things. But instead, she left that wiggle room open. Jared campaigned super hard for Kelsey, and now she's still in the game. And I think LaVita just really poorly, really poorly played first HOH for her. Winning HOH is not, it's not a terrible thing first, but it just depends on how you play it. And I think she just played it really poorly.
Yeah, Taryn, Jordan makes a really great point. For a first HOH to get involved with a pawn, isn't this typically a bad idea? Don't you want to just put up two people that you wouldn't mind seeing going out that maybe are two people who are sort of the pariahs of the house early on and let the house figure it out? Because even going back to the very first HOH of all time back in Big Brother 2, when you put up somebody who, oh, the house won't ever evict this person. This is my target. This is the person I want to stay. I feel like that does backfire a lot on those first HOHs.
Absolutely. You're totally right. That is the way to play the first HOH. I do want to say briefly, Jordan, I like the wiggle room shout out.
So there's no wiggle room.
Oh, no.
I pulled the clip. I forgot to set it up. Yes, that's what she said.
But yeah, you got to put people up there that nobody's going to care about. You let the house direct you. This isn't a time to say, no, I'm going to get what I want. But even if it was a time to say, I'm going to get what I want, she still went about it the wrong way, where she puts Paige up as a pawn, and Paige ends up being a pretty good ally to her. Paige is aligned with Ramsey and with Maddie. So that's somebody on your side that's now up on the block against somebody from the other side. And it's obvious that it's just going to be whoever can get the most votes. And then if Paige goes home, you've lost one. And now all of a sudden you've got a whole army coming after you. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. What was the second HOH challenge?
Oh, it was the competition they had. So Rissa said, okay, Canada, we need you to roast the house guests. So you tweet us using hashtag BBCanRoast. And I don't know what happened with that, but I imagine it was some sort of question type of deal, Taryn. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was some sort of elimination thing where they choose to eliminate one person at a time. And I believe I saw Kelsey saying that she kind of threw it to Jared toward the end. And there was also some controversy about Dallas because he decided to take out Raul, I think, and somebody else instead of somebody from the other side. And that's kind of why a lot of people are suspicious of him. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that plays out on Sunday night. Okay. Taryn, talk about the arrival of Tim and Nikki to the Big Brother house on Thursday night, and tell us that how were they received and how are they fitting in?
So Tim is just awesome to watch on the feeds already. He hasn't done too much, but he's so great socially. He's literally all over the house, having good conversations with people, being funny, winning over the feeders, making silly faces when everyone's crying over Jared's letter. Like it's pretty cool to watch. I'm really excited to see what he can do in this format once he's not safe anymore and once he starts to actually get in the mix of things. Nikki has been not quite the same. She's mostly, she's getting along with some people. She's also putting some people off with her, kind of stingy, like, I like things particularly my way, and People are like, why are you here if you don't, if you want things like, if you don't like the cold? Like, you know what I mean? So I'm excited for Tim. He's been great to watch on the feeds. He's probably been the most entertaining person to watch on the feed so far, along with Cassandra. And he's had some funny conversations with Cassandra as well. Nikki, I think we need to get her warmed up, maybe get her a have not position, and then we'll see if that makes her any better.
Yeah. Jordan, do you feel like that Nikki is ever going to be able to roll with the punches here? Because I get it that Tim sort of understands the exercise and he needs to sort of assimilate to what's going on in the house to be able to even have a shot to do anything here. But I do feel, and maybe I am dead wrong about this, that Nikki seems a little bit above all this, that she feels like, okay, these are all of these supporting characters on the show, and Big Brother Canada 4 is going to be all about Nikki.
I think it's a little too early to say that for sure. I mean, certainly we saw a few signs of that. And I mean, this is a woman who has gone on national television screaming, "I am a legend," and said that multiple times. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a chance she's going to walk around and think that. But I think it's too early to predict, but certainly based on, you know, I haven't seen really too much of anything yet, but just based on what I've seen, yeah, Tim is doing the far superior job of already not even just adapting, but playing the game. He's playing dumb. He's going to people saying, so like, what's a back door? Like, he doesn't know what that, he's trying to pretend like he has no idea what's happening in this game. When I know for a fact, Tim did his homework beforehand. So I know he talked to some people asked them, hey, how does Big Brother Canada work? I need to study. I've been trying to figure this game out. So I don't think Nikki, the thing I'm waiting for is for Nikki to be on slop. And that is going to be the true test of what we're really going to get from Nikki Graham this season.
I do want to say we have seen a little bit of Nikki playing dumb. I'm pretty sure we know that she knows more than she's letting off. And she is getting some conversations with strategy about people. She's not a Victoria. She is involved. She's just not quite, you know, living up to the hype quite yet.
Taryn, did anybody in the Big Brother Canada house recognize either of these people?
Yes. Jared for sure had known of him at the very least. And from what we've seen from Cassandra, she knows him very well. She was talking about like, this guy.
So Jared and Cassandra know Tim also? He's like the third member of their hangout gang with Bruno.
Cassandra was talking about like specifics of Tim's house. Like, weren't you split in two? She was talking about like, this guy, he's very smart. He's going to stir stuff up. He's not going to go with the status quo. We kind of got to keep an eye on him. But she seems to be the only one with that perspective at the moment.
Hmm. Well, one thing I want to add to that, too, I think that because that surprises me that she brought that up. But the only thing that I think that, unless she's just a way bigger fan than I anticipated, Jared, I never in a million years would have thought that he would know. But in the preseason, again, we talked about this on the premiere or the preview podcast, Rob, there were these rumors of these people going into the house. Tim's name was being floated out there with some of these people. It's been out for a while, so perhaps these people were really doing their homework and digging deep and looking at these rumors beforehand, and that's how Cassandra knows. But not really too many huge fans this season, so the fact that nobody really knows who they are, that doesn't really surprise me. Taryn, did you see the? And sorry, one other thing, Taryn, did you see Joel talk about Jace last night?
Yes, yeah. I mean, he basically said he's really glad that Jace didn't come in because he wasn't a big fan and wouldn't have liked having him with him in the house. But you're talking about how they leaked. It really makes me think. I really hope that if Cassandra did research Tim because of the leaks, that she also put a lot of time into researching Mike Boogie.
Oh, but yeah, maybe that would have been funny. She's like, "Where's Boogie?"
Yeah,
yeah. Now we have a little bit of an interesting question here about has Jace surfaced anywhere since this? Is it possible? Could Jace be in sequester?
I mean, I think it's certainly possible because we have, well, it's hard for one, because Jace isn't on social media. He was off the face of the planet before this thing. and for those of you listening, when I told Rob that Jace was going to be on the show, I texted him and said, "Hey Rob, Jace is going to be on BB Can 4 this season." Rob texted me back and said, "He's alive?" ? So, I mean, it's hard to say, but I will say one thing. And that is that from what the people I've talked to, he's not going to be on the sideshow today. So He did not have a chance to, Sarah Hanlon did not talk to him. She didn't have a chance to spend any time with him. So the fact that they just took Jace right away and didn't make him available for everyone, it's a little fishy. So I think we should stay tuned on this one. And I certainly hope he's going to be used in some capacity, because I feel like it's a little bit of a waste if we don't get to see Jace. I mean, Jace is entertaining. I want to see something from him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they flew Jace and this Italian woman like all the way to Canada, and they're just going to send him home. I feel like they're going to have some use for her.
And Jace was in sequester for what, 10 days over this?
Yeah, right? Like just to come out on stage, have them spell his name wrong on the graphic on the show last night. It said J-A-C-E instead of J-A-S-E. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, have him like wave at the crowd. Nobody really cheers for him when they announce to the house, like, hey, here's Jace. And then he just walks off and leaves. So I feel like they got to use him somehow.
They could have at least given him a cushion to throw.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Jordan, when you FaceTime with Bruno Schefter later, ask him what they're doing with Jace.
Okay. I'll
see what
I'll
his sources are telling him.
Yeah. I'll talk to Bruno and I'll let you guys know if I hear anything. I'll see if his sources are leaking anything about that Jace Wiry.
Okay. And then for Paige as well, when can we find out, Jordan, what is going on with Paige? Do we have to wait for her to surface on Twitter or social media?
Yeah. So that I believe the process is they go through Media Day, which was today. So you talked to Paige this morning. A lot of other people did. And then I think by now it's 7 o'clock on the East Coast. I think Paige is back out into the real world. So she's probably got her phone again and stuff like that. But
well,
Paige,
do you know that you're saying that she should be by this point, or she is and you know?
I don't know for a fact. I'm just based on my knowledge of how this process has worked in past years. This is around the time when they do get released back into the world. Into the wild. Yes. So I believe Paige is out and about somewhere in the greater Toronto area this evening.
Okay. And we will find out definitively, because I don't think it's too early to wonder, could we have one of these first players evicted from the house return into the house? Taryn, do you feel like that is a possibility?
I'm going to guess no, because they have the wild cards and they have the brothers who might split into two at some point. So I feel like, I mean, unless they want to have multiple triple evictions, they're probably gonna stick with what they have at this point. And that is what the house guests are thinking at the moment. So maybe they feel like, well, if these house guests think we're not going to do this, then maybe we have to. But I have to imagine that with the wild cards and the brothers, they're probably done on bringing more people into the game at this point.
I mean, do you think that there's any reason to sort of hold her back for a week or two, see who comes out of the house, and then just to basically, like, because you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube once you release her. Is it worthwhile, Jordan? You're shaking your head.
No, I think that it's not. There's, like we mentioned earlier, this poutine has a lot of good stuff on it. We don't really need to have this additional thing. I'm good with what's on my plate right now, and it's satisfying me quite greatly.
Okay. Taryn, when do we expect the veto to take place? Is that happening today?
No, nominations haven't even happened yet. Okay. I think we've been waiting for the have not competition to end. I'm not sure if it has yet.
Forgot about have not competitions.
Yeah, so as far as I
know... Where's the battle of the block? Bring it.
B.O.B., baby.
Okay, not so bad.
Don't tempt fate, Rob.
Have nots today. I believe tomorrow will be, and tonight will be the nominations, veto, or maybe nominations tomorrow morning, veto later on in the day, and then on Saturday, and then veto ceremony on Sunday. That is what I believe the schedule is.
Okay. All right. Let's start to dig into some of these questions that we have. This is from McDurkis, who wants to know a question. What is the next twist Canada will throw in our face? Boy.
Ooh. A little passive aggressive there, McDurkis. Are we talking new twist? I mean, I don't really know. I feel like there's got to be something. I'm going to go with the wild card thing. We haven't seen anything from Veronica Graf or Jace, so I feel like they're going to be, and it probably won't be the hugest thing, but I feel like we'll get to see them in some capacity because, again, such a waste to not see more of them.
Okay. Here's another question. Has Tim mentioned that he won his season? It would be nice if BB didn't spill that he did. Taryn, has there been any mention that we have Tim, who is a Big Brother Australia winner?
Yeah, they know that he won the season. And they also know that he came in second on
Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
Well, is on what, Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know they have Australian Celebrity Apprentice.
Apparently.
Is the host of Australian Celebrity Apprentice going to become the Prime Minister or President of Australia anytime soon?
We can only hope.
Does the host also have politicians calling them out for the size of their genitals?
No, that's later. That's later.
Speaking of The Apprentice, though, because I made this joke on Twitter, like, what was up with the eviction when Arissa said to Paige, "You have been given an early checkout from the BB Grand
Brutal. Brutal.
Like, BB Can Grand, yes.
Yeah, like, what was with that?
That was the quote. Yeah, Paige, "You have been given an early checkout from the BB Can Grand." It's like, what? That would have taken me 10 minutes to register.
Yeah.
I would workshop that.
It was almost like the Julie Chen in season one of Big Brother. You have been banished from the Big Brother house. Like that, it's just, it doesn't flow right.
Yeah, and when Donald Trump can have a better like tagline for evicting somebody, then you know that you've probably gone astray.
But the thing about, you know, you're fired is that it's short, it's to the point. I mean, I don't understand what they're trying to do with you've been given an early checkout from the BB Can Grand. Also, have you noticed that they have not called this Big Brother Canada 4 at all, that we're calling it Big Brother Canada Grand, Jordan?
But they never, like, Big Brother Canada doesn't really do that. They don't, like, it is season 4, but in the intros, I mean, you think back to early Big Brother US, they used to do Big Brother 2 or 3, and they'd have like the I and the number in there in the opening credits. They don't do that for Big Brother Canada. So they've never did Arissa ever say on Big Brother Canada 3, "Hey, this is Big Brother Canada 3. I'm Arissa Cox."
But no, they're calling it Big Brother Canada Grand as if that's the name of the show. Like it's Big Brother Canada colon Grand.
Well, I think they're just really buying into the theme of the season. So I think that's just where it's coming from. I agree. It's a little odd, but I mean, the fact that Arissa is referring to it not even as the Big Brother Canada house, is the Grand in the little eviction tagline thing, it goes to show that they're really into this thing. And I feel like there's got to be lots more that are going to tie into this whole theme for the season.
Frank said in the chat, "Big Brother Grande." Maybe they're
trying to. Yes. I'm also very excited about this theme because I have a lot of oversized playing cards that I'm hoping to be able to use as props this season.
Didn't you use that for a recap with Danielle Reyes like 2 years ago?
I think I had, those were my medium size. These are my very oversized playing cards. I might have used them at some other point to hide these from Dominic. Okay, let's keep going with some more questions from you guys. This is from Scott J on Twitter. "Do you guys think that LaVita was jealous of Kelsey? Seemed odd for her to target the prettiest girl in the house first. Jordan, was there any sort of player hating going on in the Big Brother Canada first week?"
No, I think LaVita really took that from a strategic approach. In her head, she thought, okay, Jared is tied to Kelsey. This is going to be dangerous. Let's split that up. Again, I think her logic was flawed in not putting up both Jared and Kelsey there. And also, too, LaVita, she is stunning. So, she seems like a very confident woman. So I don't think she's too concerned about the looks of the other girls in the house, because I would argue that she is one of the better looking girls. So no.
Okay. All right. Then let's take some more questions. Okay. So from Real BG Low wants to know, which sides of the house does it look like Tim and Nikki are gravitating towards as of now? Also, Real BG Low wants us to keep the Bruno Schefter thing going all season for Schefty. Okay. For B Chef. Okay. Talk to me about where the international superstars are going.
They haven't really confirmed in either direction. They've been talking, especially Tim has been talking to both sides, really getting a ton of information out of them. I know LaVita in particular is very hopeful that Tim will come to their side, but he did have a conversation with Christine and a couple of the, maybe one of the brothers, about how maybe he thought at one point that maybe Kelsey was the bad person, but now he's not so sure. So it seems like he's kind of playing both sides still. And as far as Nikki goes, again, she hasn't really committed to either side. She's just been talking to some people. I don't see either of them really taking a firm side this week at all, really. They don't need to. And I think their main goal right now should be wait until who wins the next HOH and then kind of go, oh, yeah, I was with you all along.
Okay. Jordan, you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I think that makes sense. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Here's a question from Darnell Pointer, who wants to know, what is with Levita wearing Vanessa's beanie? We know 2015 was the year of the beanie on American reality TV. Jordan, has the beanie just made it to Canada, or was Canada beanieing all along?
Well, actually, Rob, here's a little bit of, I'll give you a little bit of a Canadian history lesson or fashion tip, if you will. We don't have, I don't know, it depends on who you ask, but we call them toques up in Canada, toques. not beanie. Yeah, it's a toque. So I guess maybe certain people call it a beanie, but that's the term, toque. And yeah, I guess I don't know. I think that's a thing. It's been around here. So she's not like she's a huge super fan or anything. I don't see her paying an ode to Vanessa by being like, yes, I'm going to have the exact same thing as her, and I'll be just as good as Vanessa Russo. All right, this is great. No, I don't see that.
Yeah.
She's fashionable. That's it.
There are a lot of tweets that make a lot more sense to me now that you've explained what it's called.
Because you didn't know, because you saw the toque thing, right? And you're probably like, what's that?
At first I was confused, and then I kind of inferred what they were talking about, but I was like, why are they calling it that?
That's what it's called in Canada, is a toque. So T-O-Q-U-E, I believe, is the proper spelling of that. Rob's fact checker, get back to me on that, although he's probably American and doesn't know either. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Here's an interesting question from Terry Lynn, who wants to know, says, girls hate girls. She picked four girls. Why do men never go first? I mean, let's take a look at the first evictions in Big Brother Canada history. You have the Cat Yi, the immortal Cat Yi, who was up on the block against Emmett. Then in Big Brother Canada 2, we had, what was her name, Jordan, the hippie?
It was a Nick.
And who was she on the block against?
She was up against Ika Wong, because if you remember, Pop and Paul Jackson was HOH that week, and he wanted Andrew Gordon. He wanted him out first, but Andrew won the veto, so Ika went up as a pawn.
And then last season, right, it was two women again.
It was three women, because it started off as Risha and Cindy, and then Cindy won the veto, so Peely went up in her place. So yeah, and then Risha went home.
Okay. Why is it, Jordan? What is it with Canadians? Why are they always getting rid of women first in week one?
It's really interesting, and it's funny. I was talking to Peter Brown about this right before he left for Toronto about 2 weeks ago, and he said that, if it's another woman again, this is a trend, four times in a row. It's very strange. I don't know what it is exactly. But I really can't pinpoint it. Maybe it says you'd have to talk to somebody who's a lot more intelligent than I am, who knows more about psychology and that kind of stuff. But part of me feels like it's just way too small of a sample size, because if we go to the US, there's been lots of examples of when guys go out first, right? I mean, we had Jace from Rado, right? On BB 17, he goes out. David Gerton, Keith's Angels comes to mind, Brian Hart. Mike Lubinsky, there's lots of dudes that have gone home first. So I think the problem is, and the reason why people are saying this, is just the fact of the matter is, it's way too small of a sample size. It's too early. Talk to me after Big Brother Canada 15. And if this is still a thing, then all right, then really we need to look into this.
I feel like we can probably make a conclusion before we get to Big Brother Canada 15. I feel like if 14 straight women go out.
Okay. That'll be the time, Rob. When we're covering Big Brother Canada 14 in 10 years.
Yeah, well, you'll be talking with Dominic about Big Brother Canada 15.
Yeah, I'm with Jordan. Four is definitely not enough for like a statistically significant sample size. And plus they tried to get out a guy in Big Brother 1, and it just happened to one of them won a veto, and things kind of played out differently.
And same with Big Brother Canada 2. Andrew, exact right. Same thing. He was the target. So it just stuff happens.
So does it speak to that it's a typically physical veto that favors men the first week, with the exception of Cindy with an S?
If the trend continued, I would say that's probably a likely cause of it. I have noticed that the first veto tends to be very physical.
Yeah, well, let's look at it, right? The first veto was that one where they had to pop the balloons and they had those. So it was like mainly physical. You had to have some good cardio to do that. The second one, definitely a physical one where you had they had to use the wrench and kick down the door and all that stuff. And then last season, a very physical competition. Yes, there was a puzzle element to it. But going back and forth on that, I don't know what you want to call that, but that like gymnastics type of thing they're running across, very physical. So absolutely. And then this season as well. I mean, that mermaid thing, that was tough. That was a really grueling competition. So I certainly think that that is part of the reason why we're seeing this so often.
Okay. This is one from Mohammed wants to know, with Jace, who was evicted third on a season, being eligible for Big Brother Canada, will Big Brother US bring the great Ginger Ninja to the BB US house? Hashtag 604, hashtag Proppa, hashtag Zenzu 6.
Okay. Well, first, to explain to you, Zenzu 6, Ginger Ninja has opened a breaking news. This is my intel that I'm giving you guys. Now I'm the Jordan Schefter of this podcast. Zenzu is Ginger Ninja's weed dispensary that he has opened.
Oh, this is thought you were going to say it's some sort of CrossFit box.
No. It's a marijuana dispensary. It's in Toronto. It's now open. So if you are in the GTA and you want to meet the Ginger Ninja, check out Zenzu. He's having a lot of fun with that. He's actually having a lot of success. So good for Ginger Ninja.
60420.
60420. And to answer the question, US, I mean, I tweeted the other night, Mohammed, that I hope the twist on BB18 is there are wild cards and Ginger Ninja represents Canada. But I don't know, maybe I think, you know, Emmett went on Big Brother South Africa. So why can't Ginger Ninja go do that? That could work, right, Taryn?
I think he'd need to be an all-star first. I think that's how it works.
He's already an all-star. He's a legend. It's Ginger Ninja. Come on.
All right. Let's take another question for Taryn. Besides Jared and Kelsey, have any other romances been brewing? Is love in the air in the Big Brother Canada house to the degree that we've seen in previous Big Brother Canada seasons?
No, not particularly. I wouldn't rule it out completely. I think I saw Paige talking about how there might have been some connection between Nick and Maddie at some point, but that seems to be dying out because Nick is kind of separating himself from that situation. And apart from that, there's nothing really that I've seen.
We haven't mentioned at all tonight the Mitchell, really, in his game. Jordan, have you been impressed with your winner pick, Mitchell, through two nights?
Well, we didn't really see much of Mitch the first two episodes, but I'm a huge Mitch fan. I saw after we recorded our preview podcast, he actually met Dan Gheesling a year ago on the Toronto Global Morning Show because they were both on the same day. I think Dan was hosting that week. He's a huge he's a believer in the mist, if you will. So I think that already is a good sign. And just
he's a real
what
Taryn Armstrong.
he's a real Taryn Armstrong. Really,
he's a video. He's saying he's a video editor in the house. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
So there you go. He really is Taryn. This is how Taryn would do on Big Brother. The other thing too is he's not standing out too much. He's kind of just laying back. You know, not really making any waves. So, and I think Taryn, you can probably test more to that because you've watched more of the feeds than I have at this point. But I'm impressed. I'm feeling really good about Mitch and I like his chances.
Yeah. So far I see Mitch as probably in the best spot. A lot of people really like him. The brothers really like him. Jared and Kelsey really like him. He's pretty close with Raul. He has upset Levita and Sherry a little bit because he lied to them about the vote, but they have much bigger fish to fry. So I don't see them targeting him anytime soon. He's still considered kind of a swing vote. He's somebody that they're probably going to want to try to cozy up to if they want any chance of staying. And he's very low key. He's very straightforward with people. It's exactly what we'd want to see from anybody playing the game. I really like what he's doing.
Okay, John Clark wants to know, will Arissa Cox be making gambling puns all season? And if so, will we get tired of them? Jordan, what's our expiration date on gambling puns?
Poor Arissa. Arissa is I love Arissa Cox so much. She is such an unreal host and does so well. She's so great at her job, but I don't think she writes her own lines sometimes. So I think that we probably will see a lot of gambling puns, unfortunately, but it's not Arissa's fault. She's unreal. She's one of the best in the business, if you ask me. I'm biased because I know her on a personal level, but She's great. All right. Rob, it sounds like you disagree, but you know what? Screw you people. Screw you people. Arissa's amazing.
All right, so, Taryn.
I think we're going to see at least one gambling pun every episode, and we're going to be watching out for it all season long.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be somewhat inaccurate, like with the double down thing.
Right. Here's my thing. I have no problem. You pun away. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows my feelings on wordplay. That's fine. Don't make the same, the house always wins pun over and over again in the same episode. I think that once you did it, okay, that's done for the night. That's it.
All yeah. right. Well, I think it'll be, I don't think it'll be too bad. I think it maybe once.
Oh yeah. Probably. Yeah, not. Probably not.
How dare you, Robert Sestrino? How dare you? Here's the thing, okay? It's the first week. They need to really instill it in the audience's brains that, oh, this is the theme. It's a gambling theme this season. But once that gets out of the way, I think it'll slow down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they're trying to make it the new expect the unexpected. The house always wins. That's like their tagline. I think that's what they're going for.
It is a lot more exciting, I will say, than last season's theme of this is a bank.
Right.
And like a bank, we're gonna mess with you all season long.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. This theme is way better. Way better. By far the best house that we've seen on Canada.
Because this season at the Big Brother Bank, we are hoping to interest you all season long.
And yeah, they tried to steal money from us too. Remember there was that twist where they were going to take $10,000 from the grand prize?
We're hitting you with overage charges here in the Big Brother Bank.
I'm sorry, Paige, but you have declared bankruptcy and you must leave the house.
Jordan, I'm sorry that we are closing your account. Please come see the bank supervisor. All right. Let's see. Any other questions? I think we're probably good after a couple nights here in the Big Brother Canada house. But I'm pumped up. This is a great start to the season. We got out of the gate as fast as we possibly could.
Yeah, really exciting, fast paced, enjoyable, and a great outcome for the first week. As much as I hate to see Paige go, a blindside week one is a very rare thing. So this should be a good season. I'm really pumped.
I want to reiterate, like, this is a pretty rare situation we have where the house is already split. And they are kind of smaller groups with a lot of people in the middle, but we haven't seen this kind of split in a long time. The typical formula we've seen is Secret Alliance that gets busted up a few weeks in. And this season is looking to be potentially more of a season six, where maybe there's two sides chopping at each other for a while. I think that if that's the kind of season you like, I think you're in for a good one, because there's not a whole lot of like under the radar savvy game players. There's a lot of over the top, I'm going to go after the other side player. So I think we're in for a dramatic season.
Okay. Two last things before we sign off. One, do you think that could be a direct response to the number of recruits that they put into the house and not a season like Big Brother Canada 3, which we talked about beforehand was, well, we are so excited for the season. It is so many super fans. And is a Big Brother Canada season or a Big Brother season in general better, at least in the beginning, from the jump, the less people that really know what they're doing that you put into the house, as opposed to a bunch of people who can sort of read the room, say, oh, I don't want to be on the wrong side of the numbers, so let's all be 11-0 vote, 10-1 vote, 9-0 vote. Taryn, what do you think about that theory?
I think that Big Brother 17 had a really great start, and it was because a lot of people were really savvy and there was so much crazy gameplay going on. I personally prefer that to the kind of thing that's going on now, which I do think is interesting in its own right, but I liked the crazy nonsense gameplay that was going on in Big Brother 17 to the more straightforward gameplay of this season.
Okay. And then Jordan, you opened the show tonight mentioning Christine's vote, where she voted against Paige and said, I've been waiting 16 years for this. I vote to evict Paige. What was her problem with Paige that much like we had with Jared and Cassandra? Did she know Paige from an early age and has been waiting her whole life to vote her out of the house?
Yeah, well, Christine actually has two children who are, you know, they're adults now. And actually, Christine's daughter used to babysit Paige, and Paige used to always like grab her crayons at Christine's house and like draw on the walls and like make a huge mess and just break everything. So, yeah, she just really didn't like Paige.
Wow.
For real, though, on her house guest hangout today, Paige said that Christine was very abrasive towards her, and that she's a little bit of a loose cannon, kind of.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is, and we talked about this as well, is that Paige was 19. Christine is 47. So they just have nothing in common. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And she just didn't really have any patience for Paige, which is unfortunate. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, Taryn, do you have any more insight into that?
Well, let me just add also that in my conversation with Paige, I had asked her, who would you be gunning for? Who would you be nominating had you won HOH in week two? And Christine was one of the names that she mentioned. But do you think it's just that she's been waiting 16 years to say, I vote to evict somebody, and that it was just poor phrasing on her part?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just terrible phrasing on her part. Christine says she's been watching the show since 2000, which I was surprised to hear that. I didn't realize she's been watching since the Big Brother 2000 days, but with Julie Chen and Eddie McGee and all those guys. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting when you're in there. If you've been waiting that long. Yeah, I mean, it's a big moment. It's exciting. She just poor choice of words on her part.
Yeah.
Something I almost forgot to mention was that we actually have Jordan to thank for getting Jace almost in the Big Brother Canada house.
How did he do that?
Yeah, it last season when he was doing his podcast.
Oh,
he talked about bringing Jace back and what a great idea that would be. And I believe it was Neha even said, "Yeah, he's such a wild card. This is the idea. This is how they got it. Everyone's
is that
been wondering,
true?
Why Jace?
Yeah,
why Jace?
Yeah.
It's because of Jordan."
Well, no, it wasn't because of me, but yes, it did come up. It did come up, and Neha verbatim, there is a video. It's on, if you go to the Big Brother subreddit, you can check it out. There's a thread on it. And I actually tweeted out a link earlier as well, if you want to check that out on Twitter. But Neha verbatim says, "Oh yeah, Jace would be great for All-Stars. He's such a wild card." That's what she said.
Okay. So Jordan, we may have any future Big Brother Canada twists to blame for you, that there is some pretty, you know, late night, you're doing podcast episodes, you're doing big reality TV happy hour there, and some like producers like falling asleep, like trying to log what you're like what's going on, and you're just incepting the production team with all of your ideas, and we'll see just like how many of them pop up from here on out.
Well, honestly, though, like there were rumors that Mike Boogie was going to be on the season, right? What if, hypothetically, Mike Boogie was supposed to be on the season and then they thought, okay, he's for sure going to be on, but we need a backup, somebody who's like really terrible that we can think of and like super obscure that like nobody would care about. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Jordan Parhar said Jace last season. We won't ever have to use him. Let's put him down. And then what happens? They use Jace.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All
crazy.
Right. All right, so we got to get running. We got Amazing Race coming up later on tonight here live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. All right, what's the hashtag? Where do you want to go, Jordan?
I think we got to go hashtag Bruno Schefter.
For
I don't
Schefty.
Know what you guys think.
Bruno Schefter. All right, fair enough. All right, so this Sunday night, live after the episode, what are you on? Doing it on the East Coast time after the East Coast feed, Jordan?
Yeah. So after the East Coast feed of the show, so it'll be 8:15 p.m. Eastern time, 5:15 p.m. Pacific time is when we'll be live.
They're doing Big Brother Canada at 7 p.m. Eastern?
It's 7 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Okay. Starting off the night early on Sunday nights.
Yep.
Okay. Very exciting stuff. Then on Wednesday as well, catch Jordan Parhar live, all on robhasawebsite.com to watch the shows live. Then you could also get the podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/wrapups to get the iTunes feed, or search for Reality TV Wrapups. That's RHAPUPS. Or, of course, just follow at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. He will always be sending you out the link. Of course, thank you to Taryn as well, joining us here live on a Friday, the first time this season. He is at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter.
Yes, been such a pleasure.
All right. Very fun stuff. We did some really great Survivor podcasts as well this week. The Survivor Know-It-Alls. I spoke with Johnny Fairplay, just posted the voicemails today with Amy H. from the Bachelor, a hap-up show. Catch all of that. And then, of course, on post-show recaps, we're going to be digging into House of Cards over these next couple days. So looking forward to that. You can see that at postshowrecaps.com. I will be back next Friday to talk more about Big Brother Canada. If you're listening to the audio version of this, stay tuned for my interview with Paige. And until next time, looking forward to reading what you guys have to say in the comments. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. And before we get to my interview with Paige from earlier today, here's a quick promo for one of the other podcasts you could hear on the podcast network, home of Rob as a Podcast, Podcast One. It's Straight Outta the Podcast.
The man who brought the world straight out of Compton is ready to take over the podcast world. And Podcast One is proud to be his partner for Straight Outta the Podcast with Lee Savage, where hip-hop culture's biggest personalities talk about the industry's most controversial moments. This week's special guest, Arabian Night and NWA mentor, Alonzo Williams.
Dre and Evie show up. They're both wearing tennis shoes and jeans, looking real young. And it was my discretion. I could let them in if I wanted to, but because we had a dress code, and the dress code of that time...
But Easy's a drug dealer.
I don't care, okay? I'm
At
a baller.
At that point, you
I'm
don't
I'm a club
care.
Owner. I'm a baller.
Subscribe now to Straight Outta the Podcast with Lee Savage at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
Hey, everybody. Rob Cisternino here with our first Big Brother Canada exit interview of the new season. And this morning, we're going to be speaking with Paige Dostransky, and I have her on the line. Paige, are you there?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, Paige, very sad to see you go out so quickly in the Big Brother house, but very exciting start to this new season. Could you tell us a little bit about your strategy going into the house and if you were able to start to implement it this quickly in the game?
So my strategy when I went into the house, I really wanted to make a good first impression and I really wanted to make connections right away. I went in and I really couldn't implement it. I just was really overwhelmed by all the strangers and all the different personalities. So, yeah, it was hard to implement it right away, but it is what it is.
Now, how overwhelming was it for you to go into this house that be just 19 years old, be the youngest player in the season, and then have all these forces coming at you so quickly?
I think my age wasn't why I got put up on the block, but I haven't, you know, this was the first time, like, I've flown, you know, I've never been outside of Thunder Bay, like, I'm a lot less experienced than the rest of the house guests, so maybe just, you know, missing home played a part in why I kind of became a bit more reserved, but I think mainly my problem was just that I couldn't connect with some of the people, and I had a hard time faking it and pretending to be their friend.
Paige, when Levita first came to you with the idea that you were going to go up on the block and be a pawn, why didn't you fight her harder against this idea of going up on the block?
Yeah, when she first told me, I was just kind of in shock and I didn't want to make a lot of waves. But as time went on, maybe you didn't get to see on the actual show, but in the house, I was trying pretty hard and I thought I had votes like nailed down for sure. And I was pretty confident that I was going to stay in the house. But I think just that day of the eviction, Jared and Kelsey were campaigning hard. And I think that's what ultimately happened.
What did you think about the way that Kelsey campaigned to stay in the house?
Kelsey was very flirty and obviously that worked. So she had Jared in her back pocket and Jarrett was a very strategic player, so he was campaigning hard. And, she had the brothers, and, she was just very flirty, and I think that was, like, her main strategy, just to flirt her way through it.
Oh, that Kelsey. Do you feel that you were betrayed at all by Levita, who sort of guaranteed you that you're not the target, you're just going to be a pawn to go up there, and now here you are talking to me. Are you upset with Levita at all?
Not at all. It was out of Levita's hands. Like, you know, she put me up, but after that, it was out of her hands. She genuinely put me up thinking that I was just a pawn and that I would stay. So I have no hard feelings against Levita.
All right. What about in your time in the house, who were some of the players that you ended up being the tightest with during your stay there?
So me and Ramsey were super close, and I don't know if people got to see, but we actually had an alliance, and we really wanted to downplay like our friendship. We didn't speak in front of other people. We would just talk in the pantry, you know, talk about anything we had to talk about, and then split ways in front of other people. But we were really, really tight. Me and Maddie were pretty close too. Our personalities just clicked. We didn't like the same people and we liked the same people, so we always had something to talk about. Me and Shari became really close after the first night. And I was also really close with Dallas. We were always having pranking competitions and pranking wars, always arm wrestling. Me and Dallas just had like a good, fun relationship.
Okay, what about if you had stayed in the house and become the next HOH? Who was a person that you would have certainly been targeting this week?
So 100%, I would have put up Christine and Jarrett. Jarrett, I just didn't like his personality, and I knew we weren't going to work together because him and Kelsey were so close, and that's dangerous. I would have put up Christine because, again, our personalities are different. I found her really abrasive and rude, and I wouldn't want her in the house.
All right, and then last thing, what was the hardest part that it was for you to end up going into this Big Brother house? Was there anything that you didn't realize was going to be that difficult?
I didn't realize how much I'd miss home. Like, I would get a little bit homesick, but the other hard part was just all the people. Like, that's a lot of people, and there's not a lot of alone time. So it was hard just always kind of putting a smile on my face and acting like I wanted to be around them at all times when I kind of just wanted to be alone for a bit. And sharing a bathroom was definitely a down, you know, not good. But no, overall, it was pretty fun.
All right, Paige. Well, it was very nice to get to talk to you. I wish you all the best. You don't need any of these mean people in this Big Brother house, okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. All right. All the best to you, Paige.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Paige Dostransky here on Rob Has a Podcast. So thanks so much for checking out our Big Brother Canada coverage for week one. We'll be back next week to talk about more Big Brother Canada. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of it. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or search for Rob Has a Podcast in your favorite podcatcher. And don't miss any of Jordan's coverage on reality TV wrap-ups. Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.